Hey there, this is Seth Wires from Channel 9 coming to you from Codemash 2016. Not as cold as I would have expected.
No, and nor me, thankfully, after the last couple of years. It was pretty bad. I'm not missing the snow, I have to admit.
Yeah, I know. Actually, I went outside and it was quite nice.
Yeah, I know, without a jacket as well.
I
did not know what was going on there. Not like Codemash at all.
If you do not know, this is Gary Short, a good friend of mine who has just joined Microsoft. What do you do for Microsoft?
That's right. So I'm a data solution architect for
Microsoft. What is that? Data solution architect. What does that mean?
So we work in EPG. So basically, you know, pre-sales, we help customers either move into Azure, getting proof of concept set up, or moving proof of concept into production, so that kind of thing. And there's two kind of solution architects we'll work with customers from our team. There's cloud solution architects and there's data solution architects.
I see.
And the difference was kind of jokingly described to me as well. The cloud solution architects will design all the cloud stuff.
Uh-huh.
And then when the data and all the machine learning stuff in the middle, they'll just draw a big box and go, magic happens here. All right. The data solution architect comes in behind and fills out that box with the actual magic. So that's the difference.
And that's why we are kindred spirits.
Exactly. I mean, basically, data solution architects are better than cloud solution architects.
Not only that, but I think we theoretically can be called magicians.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, and ninjas and sorcerers as well.
That's right. So any really cool, that's us, right?
Totally.
Data Jedis, that came out way
That's the one. But we knew what you meant. Yeah, actually, if you just look up cool in the dictionary, it says data solution architect.
You will see the picture, this exact picture
like
right now.
Like that's what you see. Totally.
So tell me, in a given day, can you tell me the kind of problems and solutions that you have to come up with? What does it entail? And when we're talking about data solutions, what products in Azure are we looking at?
Sure. So there's a bunch of different scenarios. So there'll be customers who say, look, we've got a bunch of SQL databases, we've got them on-prem for various reasons. We don't want to do that anymore. We want to move into the cloud. Help us do that.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be customers who say, look, we've got a bunch of heterogeneous data sources from various places around our company. Some of it's on-prem, some of it's in the cloud. We want to actually create a data warehouse and have that all in one place using, say, SQL Data Warehouse.
Right.
Can you help us solve that problem? We'll also have customers who say, look, we've got a bunch of historical data observations. So it might be sales, it might be companies like Uber moving cars around the place, you know, all different kinds of things. And say, and we want to analyze that to see what kind of patterns that we can gain from that. So in that kind of scenario, you're looking at things like, you know, Azure ML, the previous kind of scenario where they've got heterogeneous data sources, you're looking at using SQL on Azure, you're looking at using DocumentDB for the different kinds of data and stuff like that. And then things like Data Factory to move the data around from on-prem to into the cloud and then around the cloud as well.
So that sounds like we're glorified data janitors, man.
Pretty much, you know, pretty much. Data gardener.
Gardener's a little bit better. So you came and you talked about deep learning. Describe deep learning for those who don't know.
So deep learning kind of sits on top of neural networks.
Mm-hmm.
So neural networks are really great for solving machine learning problems where you have maybe hundreds of input data, all right? And they go through layers. So in a neural network, we have artificial neurons which sit in layers and you have layer upon layer upon layer. And as the input evidence comes in at the top, the evidence gets slowly sifted and analyzed as you go down through the layers, and then you have an output layer at the bottom, which basically pops out your decision. So basically, if you kind of black box it, you've got evidence coming in at the top, and you've got a decision coming out the bottom.
Right.
Now, the trouble with that is, and it's been around literally for decades, the trouble with neural networks traditionally is that they're a real pain in the ass to train. The US had a system where they would train, use a neural network to train a system to read handwritten zip codes.
Mm-hmm.
Now it worked because neural networks are really cool, but it took 3 days to train the network.
Yeah.
So every time that you came up with an edge case and you had to retrain the network, you were down for 3 days.
Sure.
So what deep learning does on top of that is actually it basically, technically, using a Boltzmann machine, very smart guys worked out a way of training layers one layer at a time.
I see.
So in essence, what deep learning does is it radically speeds up the training time for a neural network. So it basically does away with the disadvantage of neural networks and gives you all that power.
So speaking of neural networks and deep learning, is this something that can be accessed inside of Azure ML?
Sure, absolutely. I mean, there are 25 pre-baked machine learning modules that sit inside Azure ML, and neural network is one of them. So you have the opportunity to use the one that's pre-baked, the one that we give you. We say, hey, here's an implementation. But if you have your favorite implementation, or you think for some reason that you can do a better one, or even if you're just a student and you want to see if you can do a better one, or tune one actually to your very specific case, then you can do that in R or Python, okay? And you can implement your own and just drop in an R and Python module. So there's really two ways to get into using neural networks inside of Azure ML.
For someone that's interested in saying, hey, you know, I want to get started with machine learning, what's some advice that you have for them?
Sure. I mean, so it depends on your age, right? I mean, if you're coming right out of college and you're looking for a grad school, then you know, find a good grad school that'll do a good course in data science, because they are springing up all over the place.
Yeah, absolutely.
But failing that, then you know, a good numerical subject, so maths, physics, statistics, something like that. All right. If you're a bit more mature like me, when you get into it.
I like the word how mature.
Mature.
Mature. Yeah. Not old.
No, like good wine. Like a good wine.
That's right.
Yeah. So what you have to do is how I got into it was basically, you know, salami tactics. I worked for a company, they say we would really like to solve this problem. I said, you know, I think I can solve that problem. And then you just get the book and you learn up on those particular things.
Right.
The thing about data science is it covers such a broad church, right? Mm-hmm. That nobody's going to be an expert in everything,
right?
So if you say, well, you know, I'm not really a data scientist because all I really know is this computational linguistic stuff, and there's like all of this stuff that I don't know, trust me, every data scientist you will meet is like that. We know what we know our niche stuff, and then we're aware of the other stuff around about it.
And the cool thing that most data scientists will not tell you is that we spend most of our time making sure the spreadsheet is okay.
Sure, and checking the data, absolutely.
Like filling in gaps and like, oh, why did they put this in there?
For sure.
That's like 80% of the work, man. Sure.
There's a good rule of thumb that says, you know, better data will beat better algorithms. You know,
absolutely.
I'd rather have more data than cool algorithms.
Well, awesome. Well, where can people go to find out more about Azure ML and some of the stuff you're working on?
Some of the stuff that I'm working on, you know, just look at my blog at Done Coding.
At Azure ML, how do you get started with that?
Well, so there's two ways to start with Azure ML. Then, and you know, if you've got an MSDN subscription, you can just get in there, you know, open up Azure ML, start playing about with some of the experiments that are available, start maybe doing your own data. But even if you don't have an MSDN subscription, there is a free tier that you can go and sign up for. If you check out Jennifer Marsman's blog, she's got a great how to get started article, and it includes there how to set up on the free tier. And you can, again, play around with the experiments that are there, just feel comfortable with Azure ML, and then start uploading your own data, and just playing around and getting it done.
No excuse.
Yep, get on it.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for spending some time with us, Gary.
No problem at all. My pleasure.
Again, we are here at CodeMatch 2016 in the not-so-cold Northern Ohio.
In the not-so-cold Northern Ohio, thankfully.
My name is Seth Juarez. This is Channel 9. Thanks for watching. We'll see you next time. Take care.
Bye-bye.